live. Welcome to the Healthy Center Studios. It's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll it's be tonight's guest, author,
George Hutto.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Dallas Thornton. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We've been talking about our show and having a tagline for years now, a conversation that matters. And we could almost add to it a conversation that lingers. I cannot stop thinking about last week's show. And the funny thing is we talk with friends and fans and family, and we talk about upcoming guests, we talk about past guests, and this past guest has gotten a lot of mileage. Jim McCarthy, he wrote the book Live Each Day, and one of the phrases he used was that a friend of him posed this phrase that she wishes we could all live life as if we had cancer. And it's not that she wanted people to all have cancer, but since she got cancer, she started to see the world differently, like she never saw it before. And the she loved her children more, or the grass was greener. All of a sudden, the sky was bluer, and so that phrase has stuck with me because I've been thinking about something else a lot of people say when they're diagnosed with a disease like cancer. They say they have a great team. I hear this so often, that they have a great team. The doctor this, and the nurse that, and the surgeon this, and the this that, and the da-da-da. I have a great team. And as I've been reflecting upon these words, I came up with, what if we had that great team, not necessarily of doctors, but of people in our lives before being diagnosed with anything? What if we knew who our team was? And if we said about those people, I have a great team. I have a friend this, I have a mom that, I have a brother this. And if we knew they were our team, and that they were good at what they do, how would we live life differently knowing that we have a great team? In other words, a great support system. You know, interesting, when some people get diagnosed with cancer, they see life differently. When suicide hits a family, they see life differently. And the people that are left behind. And that's what we're going to be talking about it today. And I couldn't help but drawing the parallels that if people that feel that way had a great team and they knew it, whether it's our family, and sometimes it's not, maybe it's people that we call our family, but if we know we have a great team and we can rely on those people, we can talk to those people, we can say anything to those people. Do you have those people in your life? Do you have a great team? I know I have a great team. I've never thought of them that way, but I'm going to be starting to think about them like that now. I am so grateful for my team of people that support me in my life, and I hope you find yours if you don't know who they are. And with this conversation today with our guest, George Arau, I trust that this conversation will make that even more important as we move forward in our lives. Our musical guest actually dovetails beautifully with his message of peace, Dallas Thornton, when he comes on later on with his live music, all on the Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from Vortex Dome LA, when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune. Talk about team members. Thank you for being on my team, Mark. And thank you for introducing us to our guest.
Well, I'm so honored to have George on the show tonight. And I have to share how he got here or how I was introduced to him. Anybody that knows me knows that I like the phrase, what are the odds?
Mm-hmm.
And it's become a bit of a facetious saying because the odds are 100% when you start realizing that there is no such thing as coincidence or that it's all synchronicity. But this day was extra special. And to keep the story brief, but to give you the power, the magic that has brought us together and the power that I believe is behind the work that George is now doing with this story. I had been in a car accident. My son and I were in an auto accident. Somebody had pulled out in front of us. The car was completely totaled. And we were on a short fuse of needing to get into a new car because that car was taken away and gone. And woke up one morning and a friend had bought a car at a certain dealership. And there is, I said, well, that's coincidence. Maybe I'll get a better deal because you got a car that's, you know, just got a car. I said, I need a car. So I went to the dealership. On my way there, and I've mentioned this on the show in the past, but during some of the dark times when I felt like I wasn't in control of my life, I would ask for magic because I knew that it was possible. Mm. And that started what became a journey of acquiring feathers. Well, that morning, there were two identical feathers at my driver's door in the car. And I grabbed them. I thought, I wonder why there are two. And I put them on the dashboard and I went into the dealership. And when I got out of the car, I was expecting what usually happens is all the salesmen rush you, right? Mm-hmm. Or saleswomen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of the car and that didn't happen. They all just looked at me and stood there.
Mm.
And it took a few moments before George stepped forward. And so I walked towards him and we walked inside and I told him my story and we need a car and we went through the process. While that process was unfolding, he came back after I had filled out some paperwork and he said, your business. Now I had put both businesses, Vortex and Life Changes, in, but the way he said your business and looked at me, I said, you must be talking about Life Changes.
Mm.
He says, yes.
Mm.
He says, I just finished a book. And then what we will hear on the show today unfolded, but the moment of connection for us was I realized, I'll bet one of these feathers is for you. And I told him the story of the feathers, and I went and got one of those two feathers and handed that off. So that's been the beginning of what I know will be a lifelong friendship and brotherhood.
That's beautiful. Actually, before the show, he was telling me that same story from his perspective, how he heard a voice say, you have to go out and talk to that man.
Mm.
And I'm going to stop there. I'll leave him to tell you, Mark, that story. But he's got a story for us. He's authored a book. And because of that, we have titled the show Help a Brother Out. His book is Lost Pigeons. He's a brand new author. Welcome, George Aro, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What a pleasure to have you. You were nodding your head during the monologue as I tied in the story to the families, friends, the team left behind that wasn't included in a decision like committing suicide.
It was just something that I wish I could have or be a part of his people around him, but unfortunately he was just dedicated to the dark side only, seems like. Didn't reach out to me. I didn't know what was going on through his personal life. But at the end, when I find out that was something that he was in a big relationship and a damaged relationship with a divorce on it, I reach out to him and I invite him at my place and I offer him a room to stay until he's going to get back to his feet, knowing that he was now sleeping in motels and in his car. So he was somehow shocked a little bit that why I know, I'm not supposed to know all these things for him. He was the bigger brother. I was looking up to him. And I said, don't worry, brother. You'll be just fine. Just come over here, sleep with us, and then you get him back to your feet. Long story short, he said, yeah, I will come. Let me just get some stuff from my wife's house, and I'll be back. Next thing in the morning, he left with the impression that he's going to be back. But next thing in the morning, when we woke up and opened the door, there were some flowers at the door. It was just like, you have it's not right. And a little note that he's going to leave far away, and he wants us to take care of his daughters. So right away, we called the police. We're trying to find out if they can know where he is, or they found somebody. Long story short, they did reach out, and they said that there was a person in our description that was in a park. He was in his car, and probably by morning he shot himself after drinking the alcohol that he had, the whiskey. And that's how he left us, with many, many questions unanswered. Why?
When you shared this story with me before, and as you're sharing it now, your eyes well up with tears and you're flooded with emotions. Obviously, and questions as well. And this has been how long?
14 years.
14 years. I know part of your mission is that if you could be a brother to somebody, if somebody could hear this and know the other side of the story, then maybe lives can be saved.
Right.
Because here we are 14 years later, and you relive this moment often.
Right.
So much so that you've written a book because you want to tell the story that's inside of you that has to come out. As a matter of fact, you hid it from some very key people for the longest time.
Right, right.
Who was that?
Everybody. I lied, whatever it was.
You hid and you lied, right.
To the priest, they wouldn't bury him if they knew that he committed suicide. They go into things that I didn't want to hurt other people, knowing that they're going to be hurt, especially my parents.
Right.
So for years and years, I told him that he had a big stroke, a heart attack. It happened when he was driving. So, but at the end, after years and years, having again another situation with his wife, I decided to break up the silence and just tell everybody exactly what happened.
So not only could you not mourn the passing or deal with the passing yourself, you were trying to protect other people,
right,
especially your parents.
Right.
And his children, I imagine, as
right,
well.
Right. The children, they knew.
The children, they knew.
Yeah.
Wow. Your story, the little I know of your story from having emigrated from a country and going to many countries before finally landing here in America and not having anything to start life with,
right,
being able to call your family to America.
Right.
And then this happens. I can't imagine. Actually, let's hold this thought. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that story. The immigrant story here in America is a very powerful one because most of us are immigrants. And so your story is very important. And potentially your brother also had difficulty dealing with some of that as well. It might not have just been one thing. But right, whatever it was, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about it when we come back with George Aro, And then a little later on, live music with Dallas Thornton, all on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
Hey guys, so I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com, that's DIENNET.com, to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, George Aro. And the book we're talking about is Lost Pigeons. We'll talk about the book more in just a moment. But lostpigeons.com is where you can go to get the book and learn more about George. But speaking of learning more about George, I actually think Aro, which, could you pronounce it for us?
Aro.
Aro. Okay. It actually means what, which is interesting.
Ro is mean bad. Once you add an A in front of it, it will change the meaning of the word. So that's mean a good man.
You're a good
bad
man.
Yeah.
And you are, George. The journey, just really briefly, because so many of us are lucky to have been born here after many generations of immigrants. But the immigrant story, for example, yours, you were a stowaway on a ship.
Yes, true.
Trying to escape the communist regime of your country at the time.
1988, right. I hide on a boat, and then I was the first one out of the family to arrive, actually to escape from Romania. And I jump in Istanbul once the boat was going towards Venezuela. Myself, I just jump out of the boat, and I apply for asylum politics just for the dream that when I was a little kid to come to the United States.
Now, interestingly, see, this is something I didn't know, but the boat was headed to Venezuela, and I thought, well, why not just go to Venezuela? But you wanted to get out on land as soon as possible because?
If they will catch you right away, they will send you back to Romania and you'll be in jail right away.
But if you're on the land of another country,
You can ask actually for asylum politics because they're still a communist country.
Wow.
So they'll apply asylum politics and then you take through the steps of coming legally to the United States. It took me 23 months to just come here.
Wow. And then you came here. Not only did you have very little, but you actually did something very dramatic to, like, cleanse yourself almost and start a new life.
Yeah, when I arrived actually from Athens, we flew from Istanbul to Athens and from Athens to New York. I realized in New York that my luggage were lost or stolen. At the end, we figured out after a few days that they told me that actually we're sorry that your luggage were stolen in Greece, in Athens. So I said, you know what, God seems like has different ways of me to start the new life. So I took it as it is. After 2 weeks, I got my first check, I remember. And I said to myself, if that's the way God wants me to start from zero, then I should do that. And I took all my clothes, I mean everything, underwear, socks, washed them, put them in a bag, with my gold ring, which I had from Romania, and the watch. And I remember like today, I put it on the, was on Sunset Boulevard by the Rite Aid. That time was named Thrifty Store.
Yes.
And I left it over there, and I can see a couple of homeless people. They were walking.
Oh, wow.
And someone just grabbed it and run away. In my head, I said, don't worry, just nobody's going to follow you. But that was to me an answer to whatever was coming from above, that, you know what, I came naked here. So it seems like it's a tough life. Starting from zero with nothing, it's very, very tough.
Well, I trust that whomever found the watch and the clothes in the ring could have put them to good use.
I hope so, yeah.
In an interesting sort of way, you're back to doing things for homeless people after the passing of your brother.
Yes.
Because you realize that people that are on the street, they may have something going on like your brother did.
They all have something. We just shake our heads when we see them. We don't know. They look, you know, horrible situation. But what got them to that situation? And right. One thing that I would like to share, if it is the time, that's how I quit smoking. I was a heavy smoker, and I was driving downtown. And I remember by the 7th in Alameda, there were a lot of people that they were using drugs. And you can see them on the streets. And I said, I'm not going to become one of those people.
Mm.
But after a month or so, it hit me so badly. I was the same, but I was using a different substance. I was a smoker, a heavy smoker. And then that was it. I took the packs, I threw it away, even though you're not allowed to throw anything out of your car. I didn't care. If they're going to stop me, they're going to stop me. Give me a ticket. I don't care. That was my decision, and that was it. Never look back.
Wow.
So sometimes it happens that we shake our hands when we see people that are on the corner somewhere, maybe at the entrance of the freeways, they beg. We don't know. We don't know.
Wow. Well, what we do know is that when somebody commits suicide, that they leave behind... If they have people that care for them, they leave them with a lot of questions for sure. And your biggest question is why? And one of the things that I don't know that there even is an answer, because you know the why of this or the why of that. But your big why is maybe, but I loved you.
Yeah.
And I still love you, and I miss you, and I would have wanted a chance to help. At that point, it feels like he wasn't ready to hear or able to hear anymore. But you now, 14 years later, on his birthday, you've written him a letter that moved me when you read that to me. I was hoping you could share that now with our audience.
Sure.
So 14 years later, you wrote this to your brother.
Yeah. Anyway, just birthday letter to my brother. I'm sorry. Don't be a prisoner in your mind. Depression, loneliness, and anxiety will win. Don't feel ashamed. You have to fight. Because if not, easily you'll be defeated. I'm just like anybody else with many questions unanswered, trying to piece together and understand what not even God can answer. You've been endured for years enormous storms with each drop of deadly poison pain. I'm sorry that you have to live this way. At least I would have tried to stop the rain. What took so long for me to understand and try to imagine your real feel of pain and not knowing what you're going through at the moment when you decide to end, knowing now that you left this world without a chance for me to do anything, I must say to you, goodbye is hard, but I'll see you soon, my friend.
Wow. There's a lot of love in the book Lost Pigeons. A lot of missing of your brother as you tell the story. Tell us why, in your words, did you write the book?
Being so many years in silence and not being able to reach out, maybe it felt like maybe I'm healing myself by knowing that I share with people. Maybe someone somewhere out there who might be in a little darker room, not knowing that help can be found if you just reach out. Or sometimes there is ways that we don't know how to look into help.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can find, maybe we can find them, the ones that are in a situation or in a bad situation, we can reach out to them, just help them.
You know what I think is interesting too is that he was your older brother.
Yes.
And you come from a culture where an older brother means something like he's supposed to take care of the younger ones. He's supposed to be the I'm getting emotional, but help me here.
Sure. Being an older brother is mean everybody, the younger ones will look up to you. You are their idol. You feel like you are in control. You can tell them, you can guide them, you can tell them what to do. You are there, as you know. And that's what he was for me. And I feel like when he got a little situation in his private life, he didn't want to share with me, knowing that he was ashamed, maybe. I don't know what was.
Maybe he was ashamed, or maybe he thought he's supposed to have the answers and be a guide for you, and that he couldn't be that, and he couldn't come to you
right
because of that.
Right.
So some of these structures that we have set up that maybe used to work, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But nowadays, there are aspects that maybe still work, but there are aspects we might need to recalibrate.
Right.
We might need to look at that again. And so you might say to somebody, because in your culture, you're American now as well, but in the Romanian culture, what would you say to a family that is to an older brother in a Romanian family that is experiencing these kinds of questions?
There is people that they have similar situations, and mostly, I believe, because part of the culture, being in a communist country, they have the tendency of just holding it, not telling mm-hmm. even their relatives or friends what they have inside. It looks from outside a beautiful apple, red, beautiful color, but inside maybe it's been eaten by this deadly worm.
So what you're doing right now and sharing the way you're sharing, is this uncommon for a Romanian person?
Probably yes. Yeah. You're not going to see probably people saying how they feel or what they experience. Very rarely you're going to see that.
So how are you able to do this now?
I just was blessed to leave the country and come to the United States. It was a dream. I remember us being maybe 70 years old. And I remember I was watching with my brother on TV. And at one point, not knowing English, I said, I think I understand what they say in the movie. And they're like, you go, you know. I said, okay, I'm going to turn back. And I'm still going to get something. And I was picking up a few words, you know, like, where do you know that? So it was a dream come true, no matter how, to be in the United States, especially Los Angeles.
And part of maybe the American dream was also being able to express yourself in the way that...
Right. Here definitely we feel a little more... free, not just free of speech. It's just you get it out of your... You learn how to do it. Nobody's born with all those, probably, but you learn while you grow up, and you got to get it out. Get it out to the people that they really, really need help.
You know, George, one of the things you've written that I thought was really beautiful, I'd like to read right now. You said in the book, you don't need to lose someone in order to be more appreciative for the ones around you, like your family members, close friends, neighbors, coworkers, even strangers. Forget about countries, federal agents, 007s, religions, borders, walls. When was the last time, and I know we all are very busy people, that you went and helped a complete stranger with nothing in return? Where do those words come from for you?
From my heart to yours. Deep inside as the truth.
And it was the passing of your brother in the way that he passed, especially
the way he passed.
Broke that open.
Yeah.
Wow. As a matter of fact, you signed the book over from my heart to yours, Filippo. Thank you so much. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more with George Aro. Lost Pigeons is the name of the book, and lostpigeons.com is also where you can learn more about George and learn more about the book and get it as well from Amazon. When we come back, we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment and music by Dallas Thornton, all on the Life Changer Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, George Aro. And we're talking about the book Lost Pigeons. Lostpigeons.com is where you can go to learn more about George and to buy the book. Of course, the book is available on Amazon. So just going to Amazon and putting in Lost Pigeons, you'll find this book. This book of love written for a brother.
Right, right.
And in a way, I've read some of the comments that people have written about the book. It almost feels to them like it's not just about you and your brother. You almost wrote it in a way that it could be anybody and anybody else.
Right. Just people around you. That again, we look at maybe. I have now. I'm very sensitive. I shared with one of my friends at work actually, and I told him, you know, I have goosebumps when I see two brothers walking on the boulevard.
Mm.
And kind of like you can tell that they are brothers, look alike, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them and I, God, how much I would have loved to have him here with me. But yeah.
So you're reminding us how to appreciate those that we have near us as much as we can.
Right, correct. Right.
And to open up a conversation, if possible, about things that really matter.
Yeah. If we can change that a little bit. All it takes just to say hi, maybe. And I remember me and Mark was just, hi, hello, how are you? Mm-hmm. Just the one thing, but again, the spark is there. You don't. You can't put it in words. There is no words. There is something from above that we maybe some people they really get it, or some people they don't. You know, we all believe in something maybe, and you feel like the God is like a navigation. You make a left, and they tell you, no, make a right, make a right. No, make a left. Is that the same guidance I believe in life when we're doing the right way and guide ourselves to success?
That's part of, you know, when I was talking about the synchronicity at the beginning. There's no question that I was guided because I've lived in that darkness. And if it wasn't for my son, I don't know if I would have made it. So wow. To be here, to be able to support you, to be able to honor your brother and to be able to help others out of that darkness that I know so well, it's an honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. I know your story now. It's just unbelievable.
thank you, Mark, for sharing. And yes, there are so many stories out there, so many people who can use our support. And thank you for opening up the conversation and for being here. Congratulations, actually. You didn't see yourself as an author.
Never in my life. An author, what do you mean? Oh, you are the Englishman? You want to be an author? Make a book out of it? Just no.
So more important than being an author was sharing your story and helping others.
Right.
So thank you for doing that.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Thank you, George. George Aro and Lost Pigeons is the title of the book, in lostpigeons.com. Find it on Amazon. And if you read it and like it, share with other people.
Right.
With that, it's our Ask Dorothy segment time.
And I'll add to what I just said before we go into the Ask Dorothy segment, that I did share with George that there were two other people here that were very, very instrumental at keeping me on path to being able to be here to share and to share Dorothy's wisdom. So, dear Dorothy, my name is Alan, and I live in Las Vegas. My dog is 15 years old, and he is everything to me, and I love him with all of my heart. He is the love of my life. The problem is that he is in so much pain that he can't walk and is having trouble eating and is totally blind. Even though he can't talk, we communicate telepathically, and I know he knows how much I love him. He is my reason for living and being in this hostile world. When he dies, I feel like I will die too, as there will no longer be a reason for me to live without his love. Please help me keep him alive.
Alan, I have a few questions for you. How does it serve your dog to be alive while he is in severe pain, totally blind, and unable to walk? This makes no sense to me at all. What quality of life does your precious dog have? At the age of 15 dog years, that is the equivalent of 105 human years. I ask you, dear friend, if you want to be kept alive, if you were in his condition and were 105 years old, I know that I would not want to be in that situation. I intuit that he is ready to transition and needs your help in doing so. Please explain to you, dear Alan, how keeping him alive in this state is showing love for him. Love is compassionate, selfless, kind, gentle, beautiful, holistic, flowing, beneficial, wonderful, happy, healing, and all other good emotions. I do believe that you loved him enough for him to get to his advanced age. Now it appears to me that you may be coming from fear instead of love. Fear is controlling, uncooperative, reactionary, selfish, inconsiverate, restrictive, and so many more not so good emotions. So let's please be willing to examine what is really going on with you. You appear to be very afraid of living without the love of your life. So it could be time for you to start loving you. In truth, remembering to love ourselves is our primary purpose in choosing to be here on Earth. Let's find a way to discover what it is about you that doesn't allow you to feel worthy of loving yourself. You also might wish to examine your true mission and purpose, as I seriously doubt that you chose to incarnate only for this wonderful creature who has given you so much love and affection. You're a powerful man, and I believe you have much to offer in this stage of planetary transition. And let's find a way to lovingly assist your precious friend in his transition while remembering that love never dies and he will live on in your heart forever. And he could choose for his soul to return to you in another dog in a brand new healthy body. I have personally experienced the joy of the reincarnation with several of the cats I have loved. So let's find a way for you to begin celebrating your amazing friendship that has supported you for the last 15 years and assist him in his transition. I'm sending you and him much love and light during this difficult time.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Well, with that, we'll be back on the Life Changes Show with our musical guest, Dallas Thornton, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Dorothy and our guest, George Aro. And joining us in the studio is indie pop rock artist and producer, high energy performer, and Mr. Positive Message, Dallas Thornton. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Filippo. It's an honor to be here.
It's great to have you here. And a big thank you to friend of the Life Changes Show, Michael Fitzpatrick, for introducing you to us. Now, you are quite an exceptional young man. Your message is very powerful, and it comes through in all your songs. Let's talk about that a little bit.
All right. The message is one of love, that global change starts at the level of the community, and the community is comprised of the individual, and individual change starts with self-love, that is self-knowledge, self-agency, recognizing who you are and loving that being so that you can continue from there.
There's that word again, that phrase, self-agency. I love that so much. Could you explain, like you did to me earlier, what that means to you?
To me, it means the ability to shape or craft our reality.
Nice. Well, you know, I hear a lot of people use some really great words, and you, I know, mean them. You know, another thing that I've heard a lot is bucket lists. I've never heard a bucket list like yours. Yours started with getting in touch with your inner child.
That's right.
And that was number one. And then number two was repairing a relationship with somebody very close to you.
Indeed.
And then number three started the other fun stuff. So where did you get that understanding that that's important in life?
It's a good question. To me, it was a pushing off from the public school system and a sort of existential crisis that I had when graduating high school as a more or less top of the class student and having done everything for other people, in a sense, like do this, do that, okay, jump through the hoop, and realizing, okay, well, where does that actually leave me if I continue on that trajectory? And so I decided to throw away my college acceptance letters, take a year off between high school and college, and made a list of things that would propel me into a path of what I would consider the heart.
Interesting. I had this visual as you were saying this, that you were like collecting all these gold rings. Like, yeah, I'm good at this, and you're, you know, and you're making me top of the class, and da, 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 I'm doing all this. It's like, but do I want these? And you had to look for, well, what is it that I want, maybe?
That's exactly right.
And surfing was one of the things you wanted. There are gold rings for that, too, by the way. But you wanted to do that for you. Tell us about that.
My goal, I lived in Costa Rica for a time, between high school and college. And I went down there for a few reasons. One, to take myself out of where I was and plop myself into a bucket where I was not myself in terms of my community and the things that I liked to do, mm-hmm. to see, well, who is this person? So mm-hmm. that's, I think travel's important for that. I plot myself into a small town called La Legua. That's in the Alentejo region of Costa Rica, mm-hmm. where very few people speak any English. And I realized very quickly my Spanish was horrible. And then I went out to the West Coast, to the beach there, Guanacaste, and was taking some reflection time for myself. Got into some fun things, learned a lot, and expanded.
You said, "Who is this person?" referring to yourself. Now, interestingly, I've never seen a website that was who is, and in your case, who is Dallas Thornton? And when I asked you, you said, isn't that what we all want to know, is who we are? And no, most people aren't asking who they are, but I'm glad you do. And you have found yourself in many ways. Surfing is one of them. Music is another. Actually, music is so important that no matter what the question, you say that
love is the answer.
Love is the answer. And music?
It's soundtrack.
I love that. Well, speaking of music and soundtrack, we're going to get to hear you perform a song. Actually, is this... No, the single that's coming out August 6th is what we're going to hear second, right?
That's right.
All right. So I think this first song dovetails beautifully with what we've been talking about today. Tell us the title and tell us why.
It's called Let Somebody Love You. And it's my belief that life has three simple steps if we are to usher in a new age of consciousness. Step one, you got to learn to love yourself. And that one's real hard. Step two, you go from the internal to the external. You let somebody love you. It's all a reflection of you anyway. And step three, that's what we're doing here right now. We spread the message. Well, she said, boy, what you crying about? Well, I said, the whole world's crying now. She said, you gotta shake it off and shake it out. Just play your love and play it loud. Well, girl, I know if the whole world could just be touched the way that you're touching me, we'd know peace. Now let me get you alone and we make love till morning. Mirrors to the soul, yeah, yeah, yeah. Every day's a weekend, loving with no pretense. Can't believe it's free, yeah, yeah. We gotta tell them now, let somebody love you. Won't you let somebody, yeah. You got to let somebody love you, yeah. Oh, I said it once, I'll say it again. If you ain't got love, you ain't got shit. Don't let nobody let you down. Just shake it, shake it, shake it proud. And let me get you alone. And we make love till morning. Mirrors to the soul, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Every day's a weekend, loving with no pretense. Can't believe it's free, yeah, yeah. We gotta tell them now, let somebody love you. Won't you let somebody in? You gotta let somebody love you, yeah. And I know, I know it's hard when you've got nobody from a lonely point of view. It's tricky, tricky, buddy. Life is funny. First, here's what you've got to do. You gotta let that somebody be you. Oh, you can be a super cool boy, boy. But if you ain't happy, what's the point? Now let me get you alone, and we make love till morning. Mirrors to the soul, yeah, yeah, yeah. Every day's a weekend, loving with no pretense. Can't believe it's free, yeah, yeah. We gotta tell them now, let somebody love you. Won't you let somebody in? You gotta let somebody love you. Love you, yeah. If you can't let somebody love you, it don't make you a fool. If you can't let somebody love you, you gotta let that somebody be you.
Wow. Thank you. Dallas Thornton. Who is DallasThornton.com? Actually, you're all over social media as Dallas Thornton, right?
That's right.
And that's Thornton as in Thornton.
That's right. A thorn is sharp. A ton is heavy.
Oh.
It's a pain in the ass.
You know, furthermore to your the realness of who you are and the meaning behind what you do, you actually are an artist in residence for a foundation.
That's right.
Could we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, it's called Common Foundation, and it's a very cool philanthropic nonprofit incubator that allows other nonprofits. It grants them 501c3 status. Because the process can be lengthy sometimes and have a lot of red tape, and it allows other nonprofits to get on their feet and start doing work that matters.
And especially nonprofits that benefit people, planet, and peace.
That's right.
So that's awesome. Actually, you know, I remember we talked also about that line in the song, the love is free. Is that from the next song?
That is, yeah.
Okay, can we talk about it before?
Absolutely.
Because it's so much of what we talked about today. So in this next song that we're going to hear, which is As a Villain.
That's right.
And that's going to be dropping August 6th. Mm-hmm. And that's a single that's going to be released from the EP, which is going to be called?
Hall of Mirrors.
Hall of Mirrors. And what does that mean to you?
Well, as I said, we're all reflections of one another.
Yeah.
So each of my albums are concept albums. This first one, which I have tattooed on my arm here, was from my first album, In Case It Rains, which is about recognizing that joy and sorrow is self-created. My next album, wow. Talking to Myself, which was released last year, which that song that I just played, Let Somebody Love You, mm-hmm. That's the first track off of that record, which okay. is, of course, available anywhere you like to get music.
Did that album get a tattoo? Or
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. It's precious real estate. You know, I want to be doing this for the rest of my life. You know? I don't know which one I want on my face. That's the problem.
Okay.
So, and that record is about love. It's about what we're talking about today. It's about recognizing that it all begins from a place of love, and that self-love can be hard to find. But when you find it, that's the key into the life that you want to live. So this next record, Hall of Mirrors, is now going to the next level of the onion outward, which is our relationships with one another. And each one of them, each song off the record are small vignettes that each have a moral. And the moral of As a Villain, I like to boil it down anyway to, there's a bit more to it, which you'll hear, but is love is free, and it'll get up and leave if you don't communicate.
Wow.
This is about transparency.
Wow. You have a lot of these phrases. One, which we can't get into the story, but a really cool story about the castle and all that. But what I wrote down from that was, are these in a lyric somewhere? There will be consequences?
Nope.
No, not yet?
Not yet.
Can I say what it was?
Just say it. Say it away.
So he says, there will be consequences to every action, but you can do anything. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, I love that too. Okay, so love keeps coming up. Because your songs are basically all love songs, but they're not necessarily to another person.
That's right.
Tell us about that.
I find that a love song is this quintessential, almost archetypal piece that, or form rather, and what's held in that form can be just about anything that you like. For me, my love songs are often about my relationship with the universe and my place in it, and the lessons that I learn in relationship to it and to others.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that, we'll get to hear Dallas Thornton singing live here on the Life Changes Show. Direct from Vortex Dome, L.A., his song, which is dropping August 6th as a single release, As a Villain.
I was a sucker for her perfume and the mental lenses that she looked through. We made love under a full moon in the football field by my old high school. She said it's funny how life be just a collection of our life stories. I said I see what you mean. She said when you see me, what kind of character would I be? I said, girl, you're the hero. Anybody give you shit, you take zero. Me, I'm the bandit robbing your train, thinking you can make a killing as a villain these days. She said, are you gonna leave me, break my heart? I said, maybe. Are you gonna leave me, break my heart? I said, maybe. She said, babe, please don't leave me lonely. Wait, stay. Please don't leave me lonely. Wait, stay. Please don't leave me lonely. You can make a killing as a villain these days. Life gave us lemons, so we made lemonade. And we spiked that shit with vodka and gin and drank it till our bellies ached. And we would laugh while we made love, and lately that's all I've been thinking of. True, I had other lovers just in case, thinking you could make a killing as a villain these days. And love is free, but it'll get up and leave if you don't communicate. I said, are you gonna leave me, break my heart? She said, maybe. She said, maybe. Are you gonna leave me, break my heart? She said, maybe. I said, babe, please don't leave me lonely. Wait, wait, stay. Please don't leave me lonely. Wait, wait, stay. Please don't leave me lonely. Killing as a villain these days. Ooh, 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 ooh. Are you gonna leave me, break my heart? Wait, stay. Are you gonna leave me, break my heart? Wait, stay. Are you gonna leave me, break my, break my, break my, break my. I said, are you gonna leave me, break my heart? She said, maybe. I said, babe, please don't leave me lonely. Wait, wait, stay. Please don't leave me lonely. Wait, wait, stay. Please don't leave me lonely. You can make a killing as a villain these days.
Killing.
Ha! Nice.
Thank you.
Dallas Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing who is Dallas Thornton, or at least a little bit, and looking forward to more. Who is DallasThornton.com is where you could go to learn more about him and also find his music there and find him anywhere on social media as Dallas Thornton. Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Filippo. And anybody can feel free to reach out to me on Instagram. Just slide into my direct messages or sign up online on the website for my email list. I like to keep a genuine conversation going with my peeps. So
nice. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for being here. And thank you once again also to our guest, George Aro. And with that, that is our show. A big thank you to our production engineer, Kaylin Holmes, here at Vortex Dome LA. And thank you to BBS Radio Network, Doug and Don, our program managers on the BBS Radio Network. With that, on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, reminding you that as life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.